Hi, thanks for visiting Bethel's website. I pray that God will fill your heart with faith, hope, and love as you listen to the message. So God help us. This is part number 8. And in a moment we're going to put some words up on the screen. It's going to be a different translation than probably one that you're familiar with, or at least one that you have. But before we look at that scripture, I just want to say again, all of us, we need God's help. Psalm 121, verses 1 and 2 in the New Century Version read, I look up to the hills, but where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord who made heaven and earth. So I hope you've already had some of these experiences. If not, it's my prayer that you will. God can save the day. Regardless of what's going on in a bad day in your life, God can save the day. God can turn a life around. You may have just a horrible streak of bad decisions. You may not understand yourself, much less someone else. But God can turn a life around. God can rescue the perishing. And you may not think that you're dying or you're perishing, but trust me, if you go out of this world without having Christ in your life, that's going to be a way of experiencing what it means to perish that you would not wish on anyone. God can make an eternal difference in our lives. So I'm just going to ask you online, I'm going to ask us in the sanctuary for a moment. If God has made a difference in your life in one way or another, would you just raise your hand as a testimony to Him? Just raise your hand. And with those hands raised, I want you to keep in mind what He has done, He can do again. And so God help us. Let's take a look at this passage in Jude. The translation is called the Passion Translation. And I love the way it just illustrates these thoughts and ideas. But you, my delightfully loved friends, constantly and progressively build yourself up on the foundation of your most holy faith by praying every moment in the Spirit. Fasten your hearts to the love of God and receive the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ, who gives us eternal life. Keep being compassionate to those who still have doubts, and snatch others out of the fire to save them. Be merciful over and over to them, but always couple your mercy with the fear of God. Be extremely careful to keep yourself free from the pollutions of the flesh. So, I think for a lot of us, we've maybe had these thoughts, or we've heard others make statements which indicate these kind of thoughts. Church is boring. I don't get anything out of the services. The Christian life isn't what I thought it was going to be. I would say to you or to me or to anyone else who's had those thoughts or who has spoken those words, you've lost your way in following Christ. These verses, they do not describe a boring life. These verses, they do not describe something that would make you unhappy or feel unfulfilled. A couple of comments and observations that I'd like to just share for us to hear this morning. Unbelievers, no matter how successful they seem by worldly standards, are lost and in need of salvation. If you think this is all there is, it's only a drop in the bucket time-wise. We're all going to spend eternity somewhere. These verses speak to that. We should not take witnessing lightly. For us who know Christ, and I'll talk more about that in this message, but one of the most exhilarating things you'll ever find in your Christian life is sharing the gospel and leading people to Jesus. And yet those are not conversations that we often try to have. Those are not endeavors that we are committed to. And I have talked to too many people along the way in Christian living. They get the morality down. They kind of do church here and there. But they have failed to embrace this call that God has placed upon our life to go and to be fishers of men. I don't like fishing, by the way. But I love fishing for souls. Believers, please hear me on this. There's a good possibility that everyone either who's zoomed in or is in our service, you are a believer in Christ. You already know that if you would die today, you would go to heaven. But this is something that is an ongoing battle in our lives. And if we're not taking to heart these words from Jude, there's so much harm that we're going to suffer, and there's going to be collateral damage by our failure to grow in Christ. This thought is just simply this. Believers are not doing anyone any favors when they fall into the quicksand of moral and spiritual compromise. Let me just ask us for a moment. Where have we sold out? Where are we not keeping up our end of the bargain? What has stolen our joy? The Bible says we can only enjoy the deceitfulness of sin for a season. So God's word just sort of screams at us. And it tells us, don't settle for a mediocre Christian life. Pull out all the stops, jump in, and say, God, you lead and I will follow. So here's what I'd like to talk about. God help us to remember that winning souls is more important than winning debates. I wish we would have had more people in our Zoom meeting Wednesday night when we got to spend a whole hour with the Hunter family, who are missionaries to South Africa. It was amazing. And as we went through that, I just kept sitting there and so impressed by this young couple and what they have done and what they're wanting to do for God. After the meeting ended, shortly after, my sister, Karen, who lives in Louisiana and zooms in, she sent me this text. I could not have been more wrong. I enjoyed that so much. And I love this part. My vote is yes. Support them. And I'm like, you know, well, okay. But I understood what she was saying. When I was growing up, and Karen and I, obviously, my sister, the church that we were in, whenever we heard that a missionary was coming by, we would just go, ah. Some of you maybe have had the same experiences. A lot of them seem lifeless. A lot of them weren't really very passionate in whatever it was that they had to say. And they were difficult to connect with. And unfortunately, growing up, that was kind of my first impression of missionaries. And then I began to be connected with churches that had more and more missionaries than I had seen growing up. Some of them were still in the tradition, if I could say that, that I was familiar with. But others would give me those aha moments. And over the years, especially here at Bethel, we have had a lot of missionaries who have given us some aha moments. And that was the case with the Hunter family. Elizabeth, she's with us today. The next morning on Thursday, I got this text from her. Hope we get the pleasure to meet them. And they are so excited. They did a video conference with our missions committee back in February. They've now done a Zoom meeting with us this past week. But they are so hoping that they're going to be able to schedule a visit with us before the end of the year, before they go back to South Africa. Lord willing, and the creek don't rise, maybe they will. Here's another quote, or excuse me, text that I got. This was from Gail Thomas, one of the members of our missions committee, and it sums up so many things. I think last night's visit with the Hunters was great. Her teaching experience will not only benefit working with younger age groups, but also with adults. Their concept of befriending and building trust in that place is probably the most effective way of building a church. Since the church is people, meeting in homes or a yard could be the beginning of teaching what Christianity is. And she ended out with this statement, their hearts were revealed beautifully. Gail, when I read that last statement, this passage came to mind. It's 1 Peter chapter 3, verses 15 and 16. But in your hearts, revere Christ as Lord. Always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope that you have. But do this with gentleness and respect, keeping a clear conscience so that those who speak maliciously against your good behavior in Christ may be ashamed of their slander. Could I say to all of us, we need that understanding, because God help us to remember that if we're going to win souls, we need to be convinced that's more important than winning debates. Do you know that most of the conversations I think I hear over the course of each year or so that Christians are having, and sometimes they're telling me about them or I'm listening to them, it's like, it's more of an argument than it is a conversation. It's more of a debate than it is sharing the love of Jesus. So before I go any further, let me just challenge us in our conversations. Less meanness and arrogance. Less ugliness and sarcasm. Less ruthlessness and venom. We can't take all of this out of politics. We can't take all of this offline. I wish we could, off of social media. But I know what we can do. We can be the light and salt that God's calling us to be. And what that means is when we speak, when we share, when we post, when we text, we go for that gentleness and respect. And I'm convinced if we can't say it like that, we don't need to say it. Can I hear an old me? Or maybe an amen? So, let's run with this. We need God's help to speak the truth in love and win souls. C.S. Lewis is a name that we recognize, and I hope you're familiar with his story, his journey to faith, and what God did in his life after he became a Christian. This is a quote of his. It says, as Christians, we are tempted to make unnecessary concessions to those outside of the faith. We give in too much. Now, I don't mean that we should run the risk of making a nuisance of ourselves by witnessing at improper times, but there comes a time when we must show that we disagree. We must show our Christian colors if we are to be true to Jesus Christ. We cannot remain silent or concede everything away. We're guilty of that. God help us. But God help us not to debate. God help us to speak the truth in love. So take a look at this passage of Scripture with me. It comes from 2 Corinthians chapter 4. If the good news that we preach is hidden, it is hidden only to those who are lost. The devil who rules this world has blinded the minds of those who do not believe. They cannot see the light of the good news about the glory of Christ, who is exactly like God. We've all heard the phrase, "The devil made me do it." I don't know that we can blame him for everything. Okay, we're pretty good on coming up with some of that ourselves. But what is the devil doing? I can tell you this, according to these references and others, he is working big time. He is working overtime to keep people's attention and focus away from God and off the good news about Jesus. You say, well, how is he doing it? Distraction and discouragement. Those are two big ways. So let me just talk about distraction. He uses money, sex, and power. And he wraps people up in those things to the extent that they're not interested in God and they're not interested in hearing the good news about Jesus. Entertainment, recreation, and pleasure. It's not that God doesn't want us to have fun, but the Bible says that in the last days, people will be lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. And so if you are selling out for pleasure, and God is an afterthought, sharing Christ isn't a priority, then a lot of what the devil is doing is having an impact on us too, isn't it? What about this? Activity, fatigue, and pride. Let me say it another way. How many of us would say we're too busy? How many of us would say we're too tired? And I know none of us would say I'm too full of myself. That's not us, I hope. But we know the activity, the fatigue, the pride, those are all tools in the devil's toolbox. And I wonder how many of God's people are losing ground because they don't value solitude. They don't value quietness. They haven't understood what to do with time alone. They're too tired. Do you know Jesus says to his people, "Come unto me and I will give you rest"? And I'm not trying to be overly critical. Trust me, I'm learning all of these things myself. If I am not willing to slow down and spend time with Christ, I don't have the safeguard I need in my life to not be overly tired. Karen and I always talk and laugh. She is so good for me in so many ways. One of the things that she does so much better than I do, she knows how to slow it down and rest. And we talk about the fact that I tend to run at a higher and probably louder motor. And so I need to be around her just so I will throttle back. I need to be around her just so that I will sit down. And I'll walk through our living room sometimes and she's just kind of stretched out on the couch and she's reading a book or something that she's got on a tablet. And sometimes I'll just go and sit in a chair across from her. And she's probably looking at me like, "What are you doing?" You know, she doesn't say it out loud. But sometimes I just go and I see it because as I've hustled in and out around other rooms and through the house, I realize, just slow down for a moment. Take a break. God never intended for any of us to run until the wheels run off. Okay? That's a whole nother sermon. Let me give you one more on what the devil's doing. Worry, discontent, and people. All of those things can be stumbling blocks. God can help us with all of those things. We need God's help to speak the truth in love and to win souls. So let me show you this. Questions to facilitate gospel conversations. I don't know what your approach is or is not, but I can just simply tell you this. What has been most effective for me is learning how to ask the right questions. And I'm not saying these are the only ones. In fact, these may be some that you would never use. But if you want to have some serious and some deep conversations with other people about their faith and what their relationship is with God, questions. Well, we just pose a question and we just listen. Because until someone's ready to hear, save your breath, okay? Here's a question. What are your spiritual beliefs? I asked that a number of years ago in a restaurant here in Austin with two Buddhists that I knew. What are your spiritual beliefs? And for about 45 minutes, they just took the conversation and ran with it. They helped me understand what they were thinking and where they were coming from. Here's another one. Do you have any idea how much God loves you? That's one of my favorites. Because sometimes when people are being drawn to God, this affirmation that God loves you can really cause them to lean in instead of pulling away. Do you have any idea how much God loves you? Here's another one. What is your understanding of Jesus Christ? I use that question when I was talking to the Buddhists. I've used that question when I've talked with people, not only of different denominations, of different churches. And I think most of you know, there's churches out here that are called universalism churches. Everybody's going to make it someday. And Jesus is just one of many ways. And there's so many religions that just simply want to say Jesus was just a good teacher or a man. So to be able to just stop and say, hey, what do you think about Jesus? Just see where it goes. Do you think there is a heaven and a hell? I wish I had time to tell you all the things I've heard about that one when I've asked it. What about this one? If you died, would you go to heaven or to hell? Sometimes as I've talked with people, I've just brought that question up. And it caused them to pause. And it wasn't that I asked the question. It wasn't me asking the question that caused them to pause. I asked the question and the Holy Spirit got their attention. And I just want to say this because winning souls, that's an old school way of talking about evangelism. And it's not an incorrect way. But at the end of the day, the Bible tells us, we plant, we water, but God gives the increase. And I love the story in the book of Acts where it says that God opened Lydia's heart. And so when someone comes to Christ, someone's sharing the good news, somebody's communicating the truth, but God's Spirit is the one who is moving within and opening their hearts. So it's okay to ask these. And then just take this one down. If what you are believing is not true, would you want to know it? I've had people tell me, no, I'm okay. And usually when I've used that question, it's been in a situation where I know that person well enough. And I've said, well, let me just give you a different opinion. I think unless you change what you say you believe and what you don't believe, you're going to wish you said yes to that instead of no one day. God help us. Here's the second thought. We need God's help to stay committed to the Great Commission. We all know it, don't we? It's found in Matthew chapter 28. Verses 18 through 20, the New Century Version read, "Then Jesus came to them and said, 'All power in heaven and on earth is given to me. So go and make followers of all people in the world. Baptize them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to obey everything that I have taught you, and I will be with you always, even until the end of this age.'" So there was a story this week in the Daily Bread. It was the Wednesday one, and it was about living on purpose. The author, Dr. James Banks, Eric's over here nodding his head. You read that one. Man, was that one cool? So to start that devotional, he tells this story about his family, and let me just share it with you a little bit. His wife enthusiastically told their 3-year-old grandson, Austin, "We're going on vacation." I wish some of us, there's a lot of us that wish we could say that. We're going on vacation. Josiah, Crystal, the Hughes family, I'm envious. I'm having to pray about that, okay? Some of you have had some great times away, and Karen and I haven't pulled that off yet or anything. So he tells his story. Their 3-year-old grandson, Austin, the wife is saying, "We're going on vacation," and she's so excited. "As we pulled out of the driveway on the first leg of our trip, little Austin looked at her thoughtfully and responded, 'I'm not going on vacation. I'm going on a mission.'" And I can just visualize that. I can almost hear it. So James continues and he writes, "We're not sure where our grandson picked up the concept of going on a mission, but his comment gave me something to ponder as we drove to the airport." And this is what James goes on to say. "As I leave on this vacation and take a break for a few days, am I keeping in mind that I'm still on a mission to live each moment with and for God? Am I remembering to serve Him in everything I do?" He then references Romans chapter 12 and verse 11. That's been one of my favorite verses for years. "Never be lacking in zeal, but keep your spiritual fervor serving the Lord." And then he goes on and he says, "We need to understand that our life in Jesus is meant to be lived intentionally and with enthusiasm." Let's check ourselves with that. "Even the most mundane moments gain new meaning as we look expectantly to God and live for His purposes." Let's check ourselves with that. And I love this part. "As we settled into our seats on the plane," and I'd so like to do that right now. Not in this very moment. After church. It would be cool. Karen and I just jump in our little Jeep and drive off to the airport. Maybe a private jet would be good. And by the way, I don't have one of those. and then ever how many hours away, you know, something really cool is going on. James prayed this prayer. "Lord, I'm yours. Whatever you have for me to do on this trip, please help me not to miss it." Pastor James Banks. Bill, when I read that phrase, I thought about you and Shawnee. I don't know. Have y'all ever went on a vacation where you didn't come back with a gospel story? Shawnee's sitting here at church just shaking her head no. And it's like, I can't wait for you guys to get back just to hear your stories. And for all of us, we want to compartmentalize God in this little block or this little corner of our lives. And God wants us to be on mission each and every day. When I was putting this message together, I thought of a song that actually is in our hymnal, and it's been years since we sang it, and I'll just set it up because I want you to maybe appreciate this story. We had 2 new musicians in our church at that time that were working with us, and lots of talent, and they came from a different denominational background, so they weren't as familiar with some of the songs that we were singing. And we were doing a service where the focus really was on just sharing our faith and making Christ known. So we had inserted this particular song in the song service. And you may or may not know it. This is really kind of going old school. The name of the song is Lord, Lay Some Soul Upon My Heart. And the young man that I'm thinking about right now, he looked at that title and he was up here on the platform. What do you mean, lay some soul upon my heart? See if you can figure out what this song is all about. Lord, lay some soul upon my heart and love that soul through me. And may I bravely do my part to win that soul for thee. Some soul for thee, some soul for thee. This is my earnest plea. Help me each day on life's highway to win some soul for thee. Another verse says, Lord, lead me to some soul in sin and grant that I may be endued with power and love to win that soul, dear Lord, for thee. Rick Warren has said, nothing shapes your life more than the commitments you choose to make. So I just want to be bold today. If you don't know Christ, would you make a commitment to Him today and trust Him as your Savior? If you do know Christ, would you just simply ask Him to start working in your life from now forward with this goal in mind? God, help me to become a Great Commission Christian. And if you'll think back to that passage, a commitment to go, even on vacation, you know you're still on mission for God. A commitment to use your time, abilities, and resources to help people hear about the good news of Jesus. To help people to understand the importance of taking that big step. To be baptized in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. To make a commitment to teach others by word and example. Listen to me, Christians. Literally, I plead with us today. The end of that commission is to teach others to obey everything that I have taught you. What have you learned at the feet of Jesus? What do you know now about following Christ that you did not know before? God says, teach somebody else. Be their example to follow. Let them hear the words from your mouth that explain to them what they need to learn and obey. Amen. Thanks again for listening in. 3 John verse 2 reads, Dear friend, I pray that you may enjoy good health and that all may go well with you, even as your soul is getting along well. Please let me know if you have questions you would like to ask or a prayer request you want to share. You can email me at bethel4420@gmail.com. God bless.